and welcome to another episode of the Will This Be On The Test podcast, the podcast with the answers to your questions for college and career success.
We are your hosts. I am Coach Betsy Olinger.
And I am Dr. Elizabeth Monet. And in this episode, we are discussing how you can nail the first week of classes. And it seems like it's a pretty good time to discuss this since in New York, classes are actually starting next week. I know they started for Charlotte 2 weeks early, but I think this is still really great information. And if you have started already, don't worry, you are not behind the ball. But Betsy, tell us a little bit about the rationale of why nailing the first week of class really does matter.
Right. And again, no matter where you are, now's the best time to start. It's kind of like going to a movie, a really detailed movie. You know there are previews at the beginning, but when the movie starts, you want to be there to set to see the tone, to understand what is happening, and it really gives you a good impression of where the movie's going to go. It's kind of like planning to arrive at a movie 15 minutes late.
I think that's such a good analogy, because if I was actually a person in the movie and somebody came 15 minutes late and they started asking me questions like, hey, what did I miss? What's happening? Who is this character? That would drive me crazy.
Well, let's never go to a movie together. Let's agree to that, because I am not the kind of person who goes to a movie late, because again, I'd feel bad and that I've missed stuff, but I am a person who falls asleep. But that's another day.
Oh, that's funny. And I am the type of person that goes to the movie an hour in advance. And my family just understands that if they want to see a movie with me, they go.
I'll be glad to go, and we'll caffeinate, but some other time. But this is going to class and why it matters.
Yeah. So there are three specific tips that we want to talk about during this episode about that nailing the first week. And they are: one, showing up on the first day and making sure to show up on time. Two, reading through the syllabus completely as early as you can. And three, some major mistakes to avoid. So let's jump in with the first idea, which is showing up on time on that first day. you laugh because, tell me what your impression is here.
Well, there are so many people who show up late because they don't know where the class is, or every once in a while, even the best organized universities and colleges will change the location of class. But I think back to little Liz back in the day, running into class really, really late.
I was a softball player in college, and we had 5 o'clock in the morning practice, and I slept through my alarm. And yes, I was a little late to your class, and it was the first time I was ever late to class. And yes, I felt very bad about it. Thank you so much for reminding me 15 years later of how terrible I was that one time. But no, but you know what? But you bring up a good point here, because truly, right? I was thinking to myself that I was leaving a bad impression, because all I could think on my way from the dorm room to the class was, this professor is going to think I'm a slacker. They're going to think that I don't care. And honestly, that is an impression that some professors will take from you if you are showing up late, not at all, or if you are walking into class in the middle of their intro lecture and kind of looking like you're a little scrambled. So
exactly. And it does. Yeah. We understand things happen, weather happens, classes get moved. No, Liz, I'm messing with you a bit, because I know this is something so important to you. But if you do, in fact, have to be late for that first class, definitely don't miss it. If you end up being late, just come in. It's a professional opportunity, as in come in and quietly and get your stuff together as quietly as you can. And just, you nod to the professor if the professor can even see you, and, you know, just say, excuse me, and that's it. You don't have to go into a whole soliloquy of horrible things that have happened to you, and because that's robbing people of their time. And I'm going to jump to something real quick. I know this wasn't planned. Really? I want to remind our listeners that we are going to do these podcasts in short bursts, because that's the way people learn. So our podcast will be 20 minutes in and out. So we don't want you to be late for this either. So make sure, again, you subscribe. But I digress.
No, it's okay. I think along with the idea of a bad impression, it also does leave you uninformed. Going back to that movie analogy, you know, the professors spend a lot of time crafting what they find to be important on that first day. And that first day is very much a rundown of what to expect throughout the semester. There are some teachers that have very specific technology or platform requirements. There are often notes on the first day. There are assignments coming up on the second day that professors will remind students about on that first day. And so making sure that not only are we not, you know, coming late to that first day, but getting rid of the mentality altogether that, oh, nothing important is happening on the first day, I can just skip it, right? What happens is it's kind of like a domino effect. You're uninformed, you've left a bad impression, and now you have an attendance hit for a day that's really a no-brainer. And there are some professors, like myself, that take attendance every day, and also, I'm very proud of this, and my students will tell you, I learn each and every student's name on the first day. So if you are not there on the first day, I have learned your name for sort of the wrong reason. So we show up and show up on time and
right. And God forbid it's a waste of time. You can make that decision after you've been there.
Absolutely.
You're there to get that information. And if the information wasn't as good as it needed to be, great. Then you can form some questions to figure out what you actually need to know. And that is on the test.
And that is on the test, exactly. And from the first day perspective, some universities even have a mandatory drop if somebody doesn't show up. So Ooh. It really also depends on the technicality of the university. So, Ooh. All right. So the first idea here is show up and show up on time.
Fabulous. So
tell us about the second idea.
I want to add one more thing to the first idea, and we're going to move on to the second idea. The first idea, besides showing up on time, it looks very weird. Like if you were going to show up to a movie theater in a bathing suit, that would be inappropriate and kind of strange. Mm. If you're going to show up to a class without a laptop or a notebook or a pen, that also leads you to look unprepared.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's kind of saying, and when you come in, you know, 30 minutes late and then you slouch down in your chair and you kind of don't look like you belong in school, as in you're an extra in the play for school and they just forgot to give you your costume or your notebook. It just looks like you don't belong and you do belong.
This is also an analogy that we understand and carry through in other facets of our life. If you're an athlete, you don't show up to the game without your equipment, and you don't start thinking about the game the minute your feet touch the field. No, you're thinking about that game well in advance. So we're encouraging listeners to adopt the same mentality of being game day ready for that first week. Let's move on to the second idea, and that would be the idea of reading the syllabus completely before the start of class.
Right. And many students are not familiar with the syllabus. A syllabus is kind of your roadmap, your Waze, your Google map of the whole course.
Yeah.
We also recommend that you look at a syllabus before you even sign up for a class, if in fact it's available, to see where the class is going, what you'll do, and what some of the assignments are. It will give you a leg up and a head start. So often, a syllabus is available online, either on the professor's website or through the university in some way, where you can skim it and go through and realize when the graded experiences happen, how the professor prefers to be addressed, how the professor prefers to be communicated with, office hours, and expectations of the student. And often these syllabi, that's plural of syllabus, it's not syllabuses, often the syllabi are essentially, they act like a legally binding document. They are setting out the expectations of how the class is going to be conducted, and you are silly not to read it ahead of time.
So the idea of doing recon ahead of time is a lot easier than you might think at first glance. If your school doesn't necessarily list the syllabus ahead of time, contact the professor and tell them, hey, I'm in your class, I'd like to get a jump on the syllabus, can you email it to me? Professors love that kind of thing. It's like, oh, this student will be great. The other option is, there are a lot of third-party websites that help compile that data, like Coursicle is one of them. It's Coursicle, Coursicle. And it's a website that anytime a syllabus has been posted elsewhere, they sort of put it together and they align it with the school itself. So you might find a professor, see what they've taught before, see what the syllabus says. And that's a way for you to get a jump on understanding what is this professor like,
what are those legal contractual things that Betsy was sort of talking about, like the attendance policy says no more than 3 missed absences. And it is just a little legwork, and you can really get a good idea of what you're in for the semester.
And as a parent, as a college student parent as sure. well, because I'm on both sides of this now. It is the college student's responsibility to communicate with the professor, and the college student's responsibility to deal with the bureaucratic stuff that has to be dealt with and do the work. However, as a parent, if you've got an issue more with administration or something going wrong, then you can step in. There's FERPA, which is an important consideration for privacy and information. But as a parent, it is generally not acceptable for you to be contacting a professor. Really, the role for parents is support. Sometimes we're the board of directors who are financing this whole operation. Yes, I feel you. But financial aid is one place where parents sometimes get involved, but not in negotiating the syllabus. So let me move on. I've digressed just a little bit, but I think it's important for parents to understand their role in it, but also to support your student in saying, hey, did you get the syllabus? What's it look like? When are the graded experiences? How does this professor like to be talked to? Yo, you know. So
let's talk about
some of the major mistakes to avoid.
Yes.
I have a client who I'm going to have to disguise a little bit this way, who sent me a text a week or so ago, and he is a rising sophomore at a large state university in the U.S. And he sent me a text, and it was essentially a plea for more financial aid from the institution, saying that he is better than all of their in-state students who don't pay much anyway, and they should be giving him more money because his father works really hard to send him to this school, but he's deserving of this. And you know what? I appreciate the initiative. Then I realized
he sent the president a text message.
Well, yeah. The problem is I thought it was just a draft that he was sending to me. And my response was, no. First of all, classes start next week. This is not the time to appeal financial aid. And there are a lot of things that he said in there that were inappropriate and not a logical argument. And then I realized it was sent to the university president. And I sent back in a text, this hasn't been sent, has it? And he responded, yes. And I thought, no, that is not the right way to go about it. You need to go. We can talk about it a little bit more. But that happened just last week. And that's not what you want to be known for.
So with regard to technology, it's important to remind listeners that there are no formal or informal channels of communication. There are only formal or informal relationships. So if you are emailing a professor, it's important to maintain that idea of professionalism. It's important to make sure that the language that you use is respectful of the professor-student relationship. And that does include making sure that you do not have emojis in there. I have received emails from male students that include wink faces. And that is just so strange to me because it seems a little on the suggestive side. And that is absolutely not the relationship that I am even conceptualizing with students. I'm not interested in going in that territory. And so don't put professors in a weird position because the channels or the relationships that you have with your friends would lend themselves to emoji use. Along that same line, it's important when you're thinking about mistakes to avoid to make sure that you're being pretty careful about respecting the concept of the first week, right? That's kind of like where we're going with this episode. It's the idea that you don't want to write an email to a professor if you have missed that first day that says, "Hey professor, I missed the first day. Did I miss anything important?" You laugh. It's comical because it's almost like the response that you want to return is, "Oh no, we just sat there and didn't really do anything important." So it's important for students who, you know, it's okay if you miss the first day because of a travel snag or you miss the room or just something unavoidable happened, it wasn't intentional, you can still salvage the opportunity and do a little bit of, what's the word?
Damage control.
Thank you.
You can actually take the initiative. It's an opportunity. For instance, if you got added to the class because of a schedule change, and you got added to the class after the first day or even the first week,
yes,
that's the time for you to show your professionalism. When you're sending those emails or those texts, and it depends how the professor prefers to receive information, and that's a fair question. How do you prefer to receive information, professor? If that's not listed on the syllabus, you can do that. You can look and see. And sometimes we give out our cell numbers as well, but that doesn't mean call me 24/7.
No.
But I really prefer words with vowels, punctuation, and some of those old school
ideas
that really make professionalism show. And to say, not did I miss anything, nah, you good. You know, no, that is not okay. But essentially to saying, I just got added to the class. Thank you for adding me. I apologize for missing the first class. I looked online and found this and this, and I've contacted so-and-so who's in the class and gotten the notes from her. I'm excited about meeting you the second day of class and look forward to working together. And I realize, hey, this person really is representing themselves well. By the way, the word I is always capitalized, please. That's just a pet peeve of mine. It really is. It makes me think you think very little of yourself. You know, put that in your brain. If the letter I is lowercase, no. So you want to make sure that when you send a message to a professor, you're sending your best professional self, and you are sending a message whether you intend to or not. I also recommend that you read through it. Read through it aloud. That's one of my proofreading tips, no matter what. Read it aloud and see if it sounds good to you. If there's any question in there about something being vague or the tone may not convey what you want, change it. You have that opportunity. Oh, are we ready to move on, Liz?
I think so. I think to recap, we want to make sure that in order to nail the first day, you know to show up on time, read through the syllabus completely, and avoid some of those major mistakes like informal communication and inappropriate communication. Next week's episode is going to feature getting a jump start on studying from day one. Believe it or not, you can focus on those study habits and creating those good study habits from that first week. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, most major platforms where podcasts are hosted. To make sure that you're prepared for your next test, visit our website at WTBOTTpodcast.com for links and notes mentioned during the show. We love hearing from listeners, so please leave us a question or a comment or a topic that you'd like to hear more about during the show. Please make sure that you subscribe, like, rate, review, and share so that you don't miss anything. We have to thank Joseph McDade Music for this awesome soundtrack. Thanks, Joseph. We release new episodes every Monday, so follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram specifically, to see what next week's episode contains. Thanks for listening.